Our second reading today will be from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. That's 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. Finally, brothers and sisters, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that, as you learned from us how you ought to live and to please God, as in fact you are doing, you should do so more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know how to control your own body in holiness and honor, not with lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one wrongs or exploits a brother or sister in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, just as we have already told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God did not call us to impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever rejects this rejects not human authority, but God, who also gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now, concerning love of the brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anyone write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do love all the brothers and sisters throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, beloved, to do so more and more, to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we directed you, so that you may behave properly towards outsiders and be dependent on no one. This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we pray? Father, we acknowledge that we are sinful and weak and we struggle with all sorts of things in our lives, and yet you're a gracious God who wants to encourage us this morning to live lives that honour and glorify you. So would you speak through me and by your Spirit, touch our hearts this morning with your truth that sets us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you'd like to have that passage in front of you, it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's page 201 in the Church Bible. Thanks to Melanie for reading that. Well, I wonder, do you ever stop and think in the busyness of life or in the silence of life or the dullness of life, whatever your life is like, what does God want for me? What is his will for my life? There are all sorts of books on Christian guidance, aren't there? What to do, how to know what to do, how to know you know what to do. And it can be paralyzing. Well, Paul, in our reading this morning, gets right to the heart of God's will for his people. And by God's people, I mean those who know and love Jesus Christ. Those who, as we heard from 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 10, who've been rescued through faith in Christ from the wrath we deserve through Jesus Christ. Those who've been brought into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or in Christ, to know the Lord Jesus. If we're Christians this morning, what is God calling us to? What is his will for our lives? Well, it's there in chapter 4, verse 3. Have a look at it. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. This is the will of God, your sanctification. It's another word for holiness. The word translated sanctification here is the same word translated holiness in verse 4. Control your own body in holiness. And the same word translated holiness in verse 7. For God did not call you to impurity, but to holiness. Sanctification is another word for holification, becoming more holy and more like the Lord Jesus. What is God's will for us? It is that we become holy. More and more like Jesus, more and more holy, more like the one that we love and follow. And that is how we live lives that bring pleasure to God, that please God. Of course, we're in Christ, so he looks in us and he delights in us. But if you want to please the Father through our lives, then actually we grow in holiness. That's how Paul begins chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, brothers and sisters, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you learn from us how you ought to live and to please God, as in fact you are doing, you should do so more and more. That we grow in holiness. God wants to grow in holiness more and more. Becoming more like Jesus and less like the world. More like Jesus and less like the world. And Paul focuses in on two particular areas. Three particular areas. A holiness in sexual practice and purity, verses 1 to 8. Love for each other, verses 9 and 10. And holiness in just the everyday parts of life, verses 11 and 12. You see, what Paul prayed for the Thessalonians at the end of chapter 3 is what he's going to talk about now in these chapters. Do you remember what he said at the end of chapter 2? We saw that with Ian last week. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. Praying they might grow in their love for each other. And praying that he may strengthen your hearts in holiness, that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. Paul prays it for the Thessalonians, and then he encourages them to do it. He urges them, verse 1, in the Lord Jesus, that as you learn from us how you ought to please God, you should do it more and more. Again, verse 10, you do love all the brothers and sisters throughout Macedonia, but we urge you to do it more and more. It's not that they're not living the Christian life. It's not that they're not trying to be sexually pure. It's not that they're trying not to love each other. But no, actually, Paul says, do it more and more. Keep going. Remember when you weren't to learn? Remember when you learned to ride a bike? Do you remember that? You learned to ride a bike and you had stabilizers. No, there was a generation without stabilizers and you just had to get on and do it. But my generation was a stabilizer generation. And I remember Dad taking the stabilizers off, one first, and then a bit rocky, then another one, and then he tied a scarf on my waist and walked behind me, and I was cycling along, and then he got the scarf off, and I didn't notice, and I suddenly thought, I'm cycling on my own, what am I going to do? And he sees he's beginning to wobble, and what does Dad shout out, or Mum shout out? They say, keep cycling! Keep cycling! If you stop cycling, you're going to fall off. Keep cycling. That's what parents urge their kids to do so they can learn to ride a bike. Well, that's what Paul is doing here, isn't it? They are cycling. They are running the Christian life. They are pressing on. And he wants to urge them to do it more and more. Keep cycling. Keep going. Keep growing in holiness. Keep growing in love. Keep growing in your day-to-day life. Keep going. And he's praying it for them. And he's saying it to them. Praying it and saying it. Don't we need to do that for each other? We all need to be praying that we might grow in godliness and love of Christ and love of each other. We need to pray for each other. We've got to say it to each other as well. Encourage each other. Urge each other to press on in the Christian life. And the first thing he talks about is control your body in holiness. I've got no pictures this morning because whenever you talk about sex, everyone listens. No need for pictures. So there we go. I learned that on camp years ago. If there's a talk about sex, everyone's like this. So there we go. That's why there's no illustrations today. Control your own body in holiness more and more. Now, God wonderfully made us all as sexual beings. It's one of his many great gifts to us in creation. And yet we know, like every other great gift in creation, we often take the good gifts and we distort them. And we don't use them in the right and proper place, as God intended. God is for sex. He made it. But sex is for marriage. And marriage as God intended it to be, between one man and one woman. Our culture may have rewritten what marriage is. But actually, Christian marriage, biblical marriage, is between one man and one woman for life. That is God's way of holiness for sexual expression. Now, at the moment, there's massive debates going on within the Church of England and Scotland and Wales about whether the church should offer services of same-sex blessing and prayer. To me, it's a non-conversation. The teaching of Scripture is utterly clear. It's not that we don't show compassion and love to those who struggle with same-sex attraction and make them part of our church community and family. But actually, the Bible is utterly clear that sex is for marriage alone, and marriage between one man and one woman. Take a look at what Paul says in verse 8 at the end of this little section on sexual purity. Therefore, whoever rejects this rejects not human authority, but God. Whoever rejects this rejects not human authority, but God. People like to say, well, Paul wrote that. We can ignore that. We can ignore that. Jesus didn't say that. We can just ignore Paul. We see time and time again, Paul keeps saying, no, I'm speaking with the authority of God. And actually reject what he says about sexuality and about expression of sex. You're not rejecting Paul the apostle. You're rejecting God's authoritative word, which is clear in creation and does not change, even in spite of fallenness and sin. Whoever rejects this rejects not human authority, but God. That is a massive thing to do. It's a massive thing for churches around the world to ignore this teaching. People think they're being loving. They are not. The truth is loving. The truth of God is loving. God's will for his people is sanctification, holification, wholeness. That means, verse 3, that you abstain from fornication. A fornication is a word that describes any sexual activity outside of the God-given context of marriage. The world says, doesn't it, have sex with anyone you like, as long as you both give your consent, as long as you're not hurting anybody else, as long as you use contraception, it's all fine. But God says, no, my standards are different. My ways are the right ways, for I made you and I know you. The right way to enjoy the gift of sex and its fruit of children if we're blessed is in marriage. So then how do we handle this most powerful of human desires? Well, Paul tells us in verse 4 what we've got to do. And it's a Holy Spirit thing. That each of you know how to control your own body in holiness and honor. And verse 8 says we've been given the gift of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God gives us the power to live for the Lord and also develops the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And one of those fruits is self-control. Are you praying for that fruit in your life day by day? Lord Jesus, give me self-control as well as love and faith and hope and gentleness and kindness. I need to learn self-control to deal with this powerful gift from God that he's given me, this powerful desire that we have. We've been given God's Spirit to help us. And the challenge we face, isn't it, is this. Will we yield to God's Spirit or will we yield to the flesh? For sure, when the Lord Jesus came into the lives of the Thessalonians, massive change must have happened. Many were converted from pagan backgrounds. We hear in chapter 1 how they turned to God from idols. A massive change happened. Idol worship in those days was linked to the practice of sexual immorality. You'd go to the shrine, and at the shrine of your idol would be temple prostitutes. And the idea of faithful marriage in Greco-Roman culture was not the norm. Your wife would look after the home and the kids. You may have a concubine, or you might visit a prostitute. But when Jesus came into the lives of these Thessalonians, it changed. About turn, repentance and faith, their morality changed. They're living now God's way, in holiness. And often when people become Christians for the first time, there's a massive change, isn't there? Maybe they used to sleep around, that stops. They get convicted and that stops. Maybe they used to get drunk all the time, that stops. Maybe they swore all the time, I took God's name in vain all the time. That stops and changes over time. But actually, Paul's not talking about that initial turning and transformation. He's saying here, more and more. More and more in this path of holiness. Do so more and more. For us all, the presence of sin remains. It will remain until the new creation. However, while sin remains, we can't allow it to reign over us. Particularly in this area of sexual temptation. Because sin is so dazzling and attractive. ITVB is all about dazzling, attractive sin. Love Island, Big Brother on Channel 5, all that stuff. It's poison. It's packaged so beautiful. Everyone's so beautiful and attractive and perfect. But it's poison. It's sin. Maybe we've been fooled into pursuing a close relationship with someone who's not our wife or our husband. And maybe they married somebody else. And we can think, I can handle it. We're just getting close. It'll be just fine. Don't be fooled. You are a fool. What did Joseph do when Potiphar's wife came on to him? He did a runner. You run away from sin. You don't run towards it. Maybe you're hooked or getting hooked again on internet porn. Maybe you're watching or reading stuff that is not helping your mind to walk in the way of holiness. Maybe we can't take our eyes off somebody who's not our wife or our husband. And we allow our imagination to run riot. And we lust. No. No, we have to say to ourselves. No to our sinful nature. Holiness more and more in the area of my passions. Verse 4, control your own body in holiness and honor. Verse 5, not with lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. Be different. Be different to people at work. Be different to people at university or school. Be different to people on the TV. We're not like them. We are different. Verse 6, no one should exploit a brother or sister in this matter, whether they're inside or outside of marriage. John Stott writes very helpfully about Christian marriage here and the challenge of those who are free to have a sexual relationship in marriage, but also that's got to be done in holiness as well. Listen to what he says. The fact is that there is a world of difference between lust and love, between dishonorable sexual practices, which use the partner, and true lovemaking, which honors the partner, between the selfish desire to possess and the unselfish desire to love, cherish, and respect. Indeed, the Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we've already told you and warned you. For the Lord himself even sees the intimacies of the bedroom. He hates every kind of human exploitation, including what is sometimes called sexploitation. There may be no redress for such behavior in human law court. In most countries, rape in marriage is not a criminal offense, but they will be at the bar of God. And he himself will avenge it. Holiness in marriage, in the way we treat our partners, in our physical relationships. Holiness. More and more holiness in the area of sexual conduct. You see, for all of us, there is always progress to be made, isn't there? You see, the devil is prowling around and he wants to destroy Christian marriages. He wants to destroy the marriages of ministers. He wants to destroy churches through sexual misconduct. I was away, just not this week, the week before, and Hudson did a great job looking after my chickens all week. Can I just say that? He looked after my chickens really well all week. But the night before I came back, the fox got in. Oh, that's very kind. It's okay. They had a long life. They were fine. But actually, it was carnage. It was carnage. The smell of death. The fox got in and destroyed everything. He's cunning. He just waited for the day that Hudson wasn't there. He waited because there's no cars on the drive. He waited because the dog was not barking around and leaving his scent everywhere. He just waited. Been here 4 months. And in he came. Lucy, Pippi, and Peckety gone in one night. It's all right. We've got two new ones now. It's fine. But get the point. Satan is like that. He's prowling around, and he knows that our weak spot often is with our physical relationships, our minds, in this whole area of sexual temptation and purity. It is massive. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy single people's lives through addiction. He wants to destroy our marriages through addiction. He wants to destroy churches through sexual failure. I hear of it time and time again, where church leaders mess up on this, and it destroys a church. More and more holiness in the area of sexual conduct. More and more holiness in the area of sexual conduct. People describe children in two ways, don't they? Maybe you've not heard this. People talk about two types of children. If you've got children, you've got friends with children. There's two types of kids. There's those who are bandits and those who are pleasers. Bandits are children who aren't bothered by what you say. In fact, the word no is like an invitation to do it. And they're happy not to please you. They're happy to fluster you. They're happy to wind you up. Some kids are just born like bandits. And then some kids are born and they are pleasers. They want to make you happy as a parent by obeying you. They love your pleasure. And when they mess up, they've got to make things right. They've got to sort it out straight away. I wonder, were you a bandit or a pleaser as a child? Of course, you can move from one to the other very, very quickly. What about your relationship with your Heavenly Father? God has saved you. He's brought you to know Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, are you a bandit or a pleaser in relationship with God? This whole area of sexual conduct. Are you being a bandit? I know what you say, I'm just going to carry on, I'll be just fine. Or are you anxious thinking, no, Lord Jesus, I want to please you. Father, I want to please you. I want to live a holy life more and more. Well, Paul says to the Thessalonians, to carry on walking in the path that pleases the Lord. Be those who delight in pleasing God. Not to earn your salvation, no, that's already won through the cross. But grow and mature in holiness. This is something we must learn to do and pray about and keep coming back to the cross and asking for God's grace to live in this way. More and more holiness in the area of sexual conduct. Well, secondly, more and more holy, more and more godliness in our love for one another. Have a look at verses 9 to 12. Now, concerning love of the brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anyone write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do love all the brothers and sisters throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, beloved, to do so more and more. More love for each other, more love for the other Christians in Macedonia. We know that this is a church, don't we, motivated by love. They work hard. Remember chapter 1, verse 3, I think it is? Their labor prompted by love. They were hard workers as believers. They worked hard together. And also, I guess you'll know that the Apostle Paul was a guy who loved to encourage churches to help each other financially if they were in need. So you read about the collections going on in the book of Corinthians where people have been encouraged to give money to poorer Christians elsewhere. And actually the example he gives is of the Macedonian Christians who the Thessalonians were part of. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that in spite of severe affliction and extreme poverty, they overflowed in a wealth of generosity. These Thessalonians showed their love not only by working hard, but also by giving generously. That's just an example of their practical love for each other. And Paul says, do this more and more. I guess as they faced the threat of persecution, it was important for these churches in Macedonia to stick together, to support each other, to love each other more and more. If one went without, you provide for them. If they need a word of encouragement, encourage them. If they need help, help them. Love each other more and more. Keep on doing that. Do not get compassion fatigue. Do not become weary of doing good and of loving one another. More and more love for each other. I wonder how we are doing. Is church life just come and go? Was church life being part of things, caring for each other, helping each other, serving together? More and more love for each other and for the other churches, other Christians. And then finally, verses 11 and 12. Holiness as they get on and live life normally. Hey, we are normal people, aren't we, most of us? We're normal people. And actually, this call to holiness and this call to brotherly love is actually all part of just living a normal life in the world. So we'll leave here this morning. We'll go out into the week. And what should we do? Be freaky? No, be normal. Live normally. Aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and work with your hands as we directed you, so that you may behave properly towards outsiders and be dependent on no one. That phrase there, live properly towards outsiders, is translated in the NIV as that you'll win the respect of outsiders by the way you live a normal life. Living quietly, minding your own business, not being a busybody, providing for yourself if you can through work, working hard, like everybody else, contributing to society. So you might win the respect of unbelievers, they might see the difference Jesus makes and come to know Christ with us. As though we're not dependent on anyone, but dependent on the Lord for all that we have by using the gifts that God has given to us. Now get on with normal life. Holiness is getting on with life normally, living quietly, minding your own affairs, working with your hands, providing for you and your family and for your Christian brothers and sisters. It's an inspiring chapter, isn't it, this little bit? Love, more and more. Holiness, more and more. Normal life, more and more. Press on in that. It's all part of following Christ. Paul says to the Thessalonians, in fact, God says to the Thessalonians through Paul, in fact, God speaks to us this morning through Paul by his Spirit, and he says to us in the Lord Jesus, do you want to please God? More and more? Or grow in holiness? That's going to impact your sexual purity, what you do, what you think, what you watch, what you say. That will impact your attitude to each other, how you serve, how you love, how you give. And that will impact the way you live your life as a great citizen of Crowborough. Getting on with your work, not gossiping, living quietly, drawing people to Christ by the integrity of your life. More and more. I love it. Paul prays it. And Paul proclaims it. He says it. See, being a Christian is not just what we believe, is it? It's worked out when I leave this place, when I go switch on the television, when I go to my computer, when I go out to work this week. Lip and life Christianity, what I believe and how I live. It's just joined together like two bits of a Kit Kat, inseparable. I said a couple of weeks ago that I had the privilege of going on a conference. Mark was there, David Buck was there. It was the Evangelical Ministers' Assembly at the Barbican. It was a fantastic week. It was all about persevering in the Christian faith, persevering in holiness and in gospel work and trusting the Lord as he perseveres with us. We were very excited by it. It was terrific. But one of the great highlights was I got to live with my family for the week. That was a joy. It was in London. And on the Friday morning, I got to see my daughter's sports day, Winnie's sports day, which is a joy. And it came to the sack race, and I was there with my iPad, recording it all for the family. And there she's there on the starters blocks in the sack race, and I thought, come on, darling, you can do it. And they said, off, and she was jumping like a kangaroo. She was amazing. I thought, that's my girl. And I was getting quite excited, as you do. Come on, Winnie. Come on, Winnie. Come on, Winnie. I was encouraging her to keep going, to keep hopping to the end. And actually, she could have won. But she made the fatal mistake of looking at me and just smiling. I don't know, don't, just keep going, darling, don't smile. It's all captured on camera for when she gets married. If she gets married. But she slowed down, she came forth, she should have won, she was robbed. But actually, it was my utter delight to see her running the race, to jump along. I wanted to encourage her, keep going, darling, keep hopping, keep hopping. But do you know what? It was her delight to see her daddy. That's why she stopped and smiled. She was thrilled I was there cheering her on. She's my delight and joy. Number five, love deeply. And her daddy and her mummy are her delight and joy. She wants to please us. Praise God, so far she's not been a bandit, but it could happen tomorrow. She's there. She wants to be a pleaser right now. How much more us, as God's dearly loved children, chosen, adopted through the costly sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Didn't we hear those words this morning from Paul, from the Lord through Paul? Come on. More and more. More and more. Holiness. Love. Normal Christian living. More and more. Let's pray for God's help to do that. Father, we're conscious how we fail you. Lord, we do struggle with sexual temptation, with our thoughts, our lusts, our attitudes. We struggle to keep loving each other. We struggle at times just to keep ourselves to ourselves and get on with our work and just live a life of integrity before the world. So, Father, pray we all know your forgiveness and your grace. Lord, if there's things we've got to do today and sort out today and repent of today, help us to do that, Father, for your glory. And will we just be people who want to delight in you? Lord, we might please you by becoming more like Jesus, by your Spirit, take this word deep into our hearts. Shape and fashion us into your likeness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.